how's everybody doing out there, man? So we go by PDX Biz Talk.
Hey, I like that.
So first, we're just going to do a quick introduction of who we have here. Me and my boy, I got my boy Johnny H here. And then myself, I am Zeke Jones, a.k.a. Young Mill. We run PDX Biz Talk, which is kind of like a business owner's podcast where we talk to people who are into entrepreneurship and just overall chasing their dreams and goals, man, making it happen for them and their families, right? But, yeah, for myself, I run a business.
Oh, that's way better.
Yep, thanks. But, yeah, I run a business. It's called Aeon Visual, which I do video production. I've been in business for about 8.5 years now, just running everything myself. I'm a single member LLC, and I've been doing pretty well for myself.
There you go.
First, my business first formed after I started doing some of my own music videos. I just started to create, like, a business around that. And to kind of offer another platform for other independent artists to get some visuals created, as well as small business owners and things like that. And from there, I mean, that kind of takes us back to where me and Johnny first crossed paths.
Oh, yeah. That was when I was DJing. I used to DJ back then. That's why I was looking over here. I was dope. Yeah. But, yeah, I used to DJ back then, and I met him through online because I had, like, a little website back then called Creating Entertainment, pretty much where you can log into my website and see what's hot at the time, like what events going on, what concerts coming out, what local artists. So that's how I met him. And then from there, I started doing, DJing his shows for him, and that's how right. We were opening up for, like, YG, Mac Miller, yeah. Tyga, French Montana, all those crazy artists that he...
Yeah, man. Yeah. The music business is quite an interesting
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's been wild. It's
quite an interesting one, especially in Portland, Oregon. I'm born and raised in Portland here. So I've just been, trying to do my best to... light some flames in the city.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, man, but when it comes to the hip-hop stuff, man, a lot of people probably look at it less about the entrepreneurship and just more about the balling side.
Yeah.
But, speaking of balling, we have a special guest with us today, man, and this man knows balling probably more than any of us, right?
Oh, yeah. There you
when go. We say balling, we talk about the NBA. We talk about basketball, the sport that a lot of us know and love, man. It really shapes the culture for real. Today we have with us NBA for... Dante Cunningham, man. Make some noise.
Appreciate it coming out, man.
Yes, man. Thank you for rocking with us today. Really excited to have a conversation with you. And, we all know each other pretty well. We playing, Warzone and
yeah,
Call of Duty,
yep.
Kicking it. But today we kind of want to get into a little bit of your background, how things started, how you got into the sport, as well as some of the business side of just being in the NBA and just what to expect, and also just the mindset of being a player in a competitive sport like that, right?
Right, for sure.
All right, man. So how's everything been for you so far, man?
Man,
it's a long journey, huh?
It's been a journey for sure. Real quick, NBA-wise, I played 10 years in the NBA. Started here in Portland. Honestly, I fell in love with the Great Northwest and really didn't want to leave. So that's why I'm here now. Did my 10 years and now kind of just expanding the game of basketball, playing overseas right now. I'm in South Korea. I just signed back up another year for them. So,
oh, you did?
That's all.
It's been a long time. I think it's like my 15th year professionally, something like that. So,
well, let's take it back a little bit to the beginning, like how you got into the sport. Where are you from? Or where are you born and raised at?
Born and raised in Maryland, Clinton, Maryland. Born and raised. My mom and dad were in the Air Force, so I really didn't get the muscle of traveling. My sister did most of the traveling as a military brat. I lived in Germany for like 4 years when I was young, but I really don't remember much of that. But, other than that, I started playing basketball when I was 4 years old.
What kind of got you into the sport? Do you remember?
My sister, my dad. My dad always coached my sister, and it was either, I run around with my mom or stay in the gym all day.
Right.
So I was like,
your sister played professionally as well, right?
She did. She. I literally followed her blueprint, her footsteps. I wanted to go to D1 like her. I wanted to go to pros like her, and just make a career and a life out of it.
That's pretty intense, man. I mean, like, hoop really kind of runs in the family. It's kind of like ingrained in y'all, right?
It does. I mean, it's definitely something that as a family we cherish, and we try to keep send it down. My son, she got two kids, so we definitely try to keep it going as a family.
That's what's up, man. And you went to you played for Villanova University, right?
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir.
Like, kind of talk about that time where, let's take it back to like 2008 or 2009, where it's like really starting to heat up for you, and you start to see that draft coming near. Like, what were those games like, and kind of what was your mindset at the time?
Honestly, at that point in time, basketball was just literally my world. Yeah. You know, I went to Villanova, you know, I had school, I had classes and everything. It was still, you know, kind of basketball first. Like, you have to understand that.
Yep.
And at that point, you know, you have to learn to balance, you know, life and you know, a sport that, you know, could potentially take off and make your life better, you and your family better. You know, so at that point, you know, you just continue to try to be around it and be more, you know, in tune to what's going on with the, you know, with basketball, with life. Like, that's the biggest thing, like, is balance.
Balance is definitely key, because I know there's a lot of people that I grew up with that have just a major talent, and just, like, there's a lot of real life that can just hit you at any moment where they can really, like, change your path. What do you say is, like, some of the best advice or just, like, key things to consider when you on a journey like that towards, like, the NBA or something like that, just trying to stay on the right path, whether it's just being troubled or growing up in the struggle?
Man, I don't want to sound cliche. Keep God first. You know, you got to pray, listen to your mom, your dad, the people that, you know, have your best interests. There's always going to be people around you that want something from you, that wants to be, you know, in your pocket or, you know, right next to you for the cameras or whatever. But it's hard to see it at the time because the lights are bright and everyone can stand in the shadows. But, like, again, you have to find them. You have to stay on your path. Listen to the right people. Keep those people around you that want the best for you. That know. You know.
Yeah, did you go through that? Like, did you have people like in your circle that were there just because you were the NBA and you had all this stuff around you?
I did, but I also had a great close knit family. My sister, mom, dad. You know, we were always the people. To this day. Yeah. You know, we have group family texts, everything like that. But I had family come in and want to, you know, figure out a way to get in. But it's hard because at the same time, like, you have, you know, your uncles, your cousins, people that are
they're
blood family. But at the same time, they really only want one thing from you.
Yeah,
they'll stop talking to you for a whole year.
Wild. That's a difficult thing that a lot of people face when it comes to anything successful, is just like starting to see people change around you. A lot of people come up to you saying that you're the one that changed. But a lot of time it's not, though. A lot of time it's really the environment around you that just creates the image that they just don't understand exactly. But,
that's funny you say that, because I don't know who said it or I heard it from somewhere. They were like, that's funny you say I changed, but when I didn't have money, you never asked me for money. So the person that changes you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
now they
I
want
got
some
money,
change.
Now you want something. You know
you want something, like, that I got, yeah.
It's crazy.
But back on a positive note, though, like, around that time, like, what does it look like when you're being scouted to, like, for maybe, like, somebody in the room who is, like, in high school or in college that are trying to hoop, they're trying to do it serious? Like, what does it look like when that opportunity is on the table to really go to the league?
Just like it is in a movie.
It's a movie.
Honestly, it is. You know, you get all the letters coming in by the box load, you know, for colleges, you know, this is in high school, I should say, but that's where it starts. You know, you get all the box loads of letters and, you know, the coaches coming in, the news, press, you know, you're in all the local papers. So now, I mean, that's building up. You get to college and now you're on TV, you're on ESPN, you're making highlights, you know, and now I can't even imagine that. Like, when I started, we had Facebook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, and you had to be in college to get Facebook. And that was, like, our only, like, real social outlet. I mean, you know, MySpace, all that.
Yeah.
Don't let me date myself, but. You know what I'm saying? But
I know. I was wondering about that.
It wasn't really as social media, you know, obviously wasn't as prominent. You know what I mean? So, now, you got a kid that has a million followers and knows way more.
Yeah.
People know him way more than me.
Plus, they can make cool little highlight reels and TikToks and post it, and that's how.
And continue to build your brand, you know, make your money now. You know, it's a lot to go into it, and I honestly, like, I'm glad you guys brought this up, because, like, I would love for more colleges and college coaches to kind of put their kids in situations where they're making millions of dollars in college. You got to put them in class and teach them how to
manage it,
work their money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially today, like, they're, the way of holding money now is way different from what it was for your parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, their knowledge of money is totally different than what it is now. Yeah. So, you have to teach these kids how to manage it and how not to burn it up before it's all, you know.
That's very common in sports, especially in African-American community.
For
it's
sure.
Because a lot of us don't come for money.
We don't.
So when we start to see these massive like numbers and checks coming in, bro, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I want to do with it. I want to go down to the dealership and give me something nice.
Do that immediately, but a lot of other things you can do and other ways to buy this car without, you know, throwing down cash here, boom. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of avenues that with money, you know, comes responsibility.
Did you have a sense of that, or when you first got your big paycheck, or did you have some kind of accountant or tax person already? Or
I did, so I had a team. I've always had a team. But at the same time, I came in, I was lucky. I had parents that, again, their way of method was old.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, you know, I stuck with it, you know, leave the money in the bank and let it build.
Yeah.
20, 30 years ago, that would have been great, you know what I mean? But now it's different, you know, so maybe 10 years ago or something, I kind of, you know, switched off and kind of went to the newer, let my team actually work and figure out stuff. So,
that's cool. So what does that look like? Like, what kind of team members do you have to kind of tap on the shoulder to kind of bring in to, like, help manage that money? And what kind of advisory do you
trust,
have?
Too.
Yeah, I mean, trust obviously, team. Trust team. And, you know, drawing a blank on it, but you have your team, your team that you want, and you audit. You always have a second team audit your main guys.
Yeah.
Like, you trust those guys, you running with them, blah, 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 but at the same time, that's your money.
Yeah.
And the audit.
Plus, it's not even, like, something to do bad. Maybe he's, like, a mistake.
No, they could have missed, you know, they could have missed $5, $6 here. You know what I mean? Go get that money. That's my money.
That's
I want it. I don't care what it is. I want it.
Exactly. But. So once you started playing in the league, you first were drafted in 2009 to the Trailblazers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, shout out to Trailblazers. We in Portland. But yeah, what does that look like? Like, when you go to, what's the first practice feeling like when you, like, you in the league? It's official now. It's before the season starts.
Man, it's not even, it's surreal. Like, you have to understand, like, all your life, like, what, like, your main goal is to be in the NBA, to be one of the top 300 guys in the, you know, the world, as they, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Unreal. You walk into the gym. I walked into the gym, me and my pops, and I was like a week or so early because I was getting my house or whatever, getting ready.
Yeah.
And I go into the gym to check it out. Brandon Roy's sitting there working out with this guy.
Yeah.
Turns to me, hey, what's up? I'm shaking my hand, blah, blah, blah. You want to work out? Now? Like now? Like
right here?
Right now, go get your gear. All right. First day, B-Roy. Hey,
Miss Brandon.
You know what I mean? Just get it in, and ever since then, you know, it's just, it's things like that, you know what I mean? Like, guys want you to get better, you know, it is, you know, you see B-Roy working out with him.
He's kind of like, you know, a little bit starstruck.
Some you don't expect. Well, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge come in an hour and a half later, you know, working out,
that's
doing
crazy.
This thing. You like,
you ever seen him on TV?
Yeah, man, look at this,
exactly.
You know, like,
no, you're one of them,
you know you're going to play with him, but it's like, damn, they really here. Like, you know, they really hooping.
At what point did you finally feel like you were kind of settled in and, like, I don't know if that ever gets, like, 100% old, because every other night you got to go to play against of the greatest in the league, too.
Something different every day. You know, it is. It is it's a great experience, obviously. But, you know, the best thing about it is just the game of basketball, to be able to every night go out and showcase your talent and just have fun and come the camaraderie with the guys. You know what I mean? The locker rooms after, you know what I mean? All that, all that good stuff that comes with it, you know?
And how's traveling? Like, how's away games? Do you go, like, the day before or the day of the game, or how is it work?
Day before. We show up the day before.
To make sure you're going to
get
some rest.
Get a good night's sleep, depending if we, so you might have a back-to-back. You obviously leave after the game. Stay over in the city and then fly back.
Is it all private jet?
Yeah, you have it's the size of a regular,
but it's your
guys, though. Yeah, you know, first class passenger plane. But there's no overhead luggage compartments. There's two tables in the front, only big, you know, first class seats all the way through it. There's really
you get
no,
to skip TSA and all that?
Yeah. We drive right up to the, on right next to the plane. The plane's 50 feet away.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight, man.
Yeah.
So, when early in your career, like, were you ever tempted by, like, the flashing lights and stuff like that? Did you ever have moments where you were just, like, kind of lost focus of the game a little
bit? Of course. Of course. Playing in New York was one of those times. I was only there for 2 months, and that was probably one of the craziest times. I mean, it happens. You know, your environment, the people, you know, what's going on in the team, if you're winning, if you're losing. A lot of, you know, things contribute to that. But it's all in all, you know, I wouldn't change it. Honestly, I would, you know, it's not no.
Well, you play for quite a bit of teams. Like, would you say that there's a team that you would pick that, like, this was the best time I had over here? Or was there, like, a top two or three?
Portland, I ain't gonna lie, that was my favorite team. That was my first time getting traded, so it hurt,
man.
But honestly, it was my favorite group of guys. It was my favorite city to be in. I mean, I had Joe Prezbilla, Juwan Howard, Marcus Camby. was Steve Blake here? Steve Blake made for you? I might have missed that one. I mean, all type of guys. Just great guys. You know what I mean? Martell Webster. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, just great guys to be around and to show me, you know, what the league is about. You know, taught me, you know, professionalism, how to carry yourself on and off the court. You know what I mean? And all that matters. You know what I mean? To stick around and be in the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I always wondered, like, because there's probably a contrast between some of the teams where it's a lot of younger guys versus, like, somewhere like the Spurs where it's, like, real fundamental. Did you notice, a lot of difference in the play style? Or
That all comes from the organization. You know, Spurs are obviously more suit and tie type of organization. You know, they keep veteran guys around. Older guys that retired there stay around and come back and work out there. You know, they keep that older, professional, super professional
environment
around. You know, other teams, you know, they try to do that, but, you know, situations, you know, they come in and have trades or whatever and draft picks, and they got a whole bunch of young guys, so now they got to kind of work with that. You know?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, like, when it comes to getting drafted or, like, getting traded, is there any kind of negotiations that happen when it comes to, like, the actual payment? Like, how do basketball players get paid? Just for anybody, like, outside of the league that don't know.
Just like you. First and the 15th. Nah, you can bust it down however you want. You can get paid 12 months, 12 months out of the year. You can get paid twice a month, once a month. You can get paid 6 months.
You get that lump sum.
Yeah, you can negotiate your contract. You can get 80% up front or...
How'd you do it? Did you want to get paid throughout the whole year?
So yeah.
I
did that my first year, rookie year. I messed up. I was like, yeah, you get 6 months.
Yeah. Did they tax it differently?
Summertime's are cold. Looking at your account, looking at what you pulling out. Ain't nothing coming in. You're like, dang.
You got to get that halfway mark.
How much longer?
Yeah.
So talking about, you know, when you got money, because that's how I met you, you know. So mm-hmm. I met him through our insurance guy, Jake. Through Country Financial, invited me to the Post Malone concert,
yeah.
And he had a sweet box,
mm-hmm.
And then that's where I met you. He said, "Hey, this is Dante. You know, he gets cars. You know, since I own a detail shop, and that's how I met you. You know, and I went to your house. We'll talk about that too because I love your house,
yeah,
your whole property
compound.
You own, but your cars. So you told me your first All Star check. You bought that one car you had over there. You still have it, right?
Yep. It's outside of my mom's house right now. It's a 1971 Pella Supreme with a 450. 454.
Dang.
So big block, 71, 1971.
And you say you bought that with your first All-Star check?
My first playoff check. I ain't never made the All-Star.
Sorry. Playoff.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, playoff. My first playoff check from here, went home, got on the internet and found that car.
Dang.
Yeah.
Was it the full check by any chance or no?
No. How much was that check? I think we made like that year like 20, 25 or something like that. I think we were like the 6th or 8th or 7th seed or something like that. We didn't get that much.
So you got that card.
And then we got kicked out of first round. So.
And then you also had, when I met you, you had a couple Hellcats, a few Hellcats. Then you had a Bentley.
Little kitties.
You had the Bentley. So when you first started getting money, like, because now you don't have that stuff. Right? You got rid of it. You told me, like, there's no point in having that. It's a waste of money. I mean, the Bentley,
well,
obviously.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Because, like, it's,
yes,
like,
yes.
It costs you so much money.
Cars.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you done?
I've learned just the kind of cars and what cars. So, like, what's the point of the car?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was great to drive. The Bentley drove great. It was, you know, fast and everything. But once the warranty went out, like I said, the windshield, for them to look at it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
was, a lot.
Like, nah, I'm good. I don't even. Not even the type of car I want. And plus, I'm American muscle type of guy anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I still got my Hellcats. So I still got, you know, that Lincoln.
Yeah, still got a 6-speed Hellcat. That's really rare. You never drive.
Manual. Yeah. Challenger, yeah.
So with your property, you own how many acres over there?
67.
67 acres.
Yeah.
And you have a horse thing. You have a barn, right?
I do horse boarding.
So boarding. So that's what I want to get to. So that's a business that you got into. Like, how long ago have you got into that?
What was that, 2019?
Okay. What made you get into that? Just because you had big property? Or?
So, long story short, I started out with 20 acres.
Okay.
Next property, the property next to me came up for availability. Bought that. Again, next thing happened. So I ended up with 67 out of nowhere within like 2 years.
Yeah.
The goal of what I've learned was to make things like that make its own money so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So at 67 acres, you have taxes, you have maintenance and grass.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
Understatement. But the horses pay for the whole thing, the whole property. So as long as I have the horse business going, I have a place to stay. My mom has a place to stay. My son has a place to stay.
And the horse business, as in you just board them, people pay you.
I just board,
yeah. People pay you money every month.
So if you had a horse and, you know what I mean, you didn't want to keep him, obviously, in your garage, come holler.
The horsey hotel.
Yeah. full care. You know, I feed him, let him out.
Everything
for him, yeah.
That's dope. Yeah, because I see your Instagram posts all the time. The one, your person that works for you, the lady that manages it, is always posting on there, and it's dope to see, like, the horses all the time out and about.
No, she's great. I get nothing but great feedback from all of our, you know, boarders, and honestly, it's all her. She really just takes care of it.
What else do you do? Because I saw she also post something about you're sponsoring something recently.
I just sponsored a barrel race for the kids.
Okay.
At the Saddle Club in Washington. That was cool. I've done that 2 years now.
Yeah.
You know, just anything to kind of, you know, give back to the kids, help them out. I also have cows. I have beef cows. So,
what?
You know, if you need beef, hamburgers, steaks, all that.
And you have the one big pig?
I have pigs and goats.
Yeah, I remember that.
I do hay, but I don't sell the hay. The hay just goes to my animals.
Just for animals only.
So is that something that's always been kind of in you? Because I know, like, a lot of NBA players, you know, the glam and the glitz is nice for a little while, but you always seem like you were kind of more, like, reserved, like, out the way. You kind of wanted to just, like, chill, right?
I always knew that I wanted my own little piece of the world. You know, just my dad always told me that they never going to make more land. You know what I mean? So you need to get your piece. So,
yeah.
I always knew that, and I always knew I wanted animals just watching Discovery Channel. You know, I grew up in Maryland, D.C., you know, so I'm a city boy at heart. But, you know, learning every day, I'd be in more country and run a farm.
Is there anything else you want to do business-wise on your property, or just do the boarding for the horse? Do you want to add to it, like make it bigger or anything like that? Or
put a go-kart? Like,
a go-kart track.
No, he has a dirt bike. Or he has a dirt
I do have a dirt bike track in the back. But, honestly, just more businesses to add to it. I do have my dealer's license to buy and sell cars, so that is an option I was exploring.
But you signed it a year for overseas plane, right?
Right. So, again, you know, these are things that, you know, I'm trying to, I guess, have the shell ready for when I'm done. for retirement.
But it's dope how when you leave overseas for all those months, you're gone, your property's taken care of.
Exactly. You know, it still runs just like a top, yep.
Yeah, a lot of people don't do that. They just go and
That was one thing I had to have in place. I have to have that running 24/7.
Yeah, no matter what.
We've been up to the D.C. compound. It's a nice little spot, bro. We appreciate you having us over there.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, you had mentioned overseas. Like, let's kind of talk about overseas.
I want to talk about overseas.
Yeah, because, like, that's a whole other world, I can imagine. Is it kind of similarly structured as, like, the NBA playing in there? Or is it just, like, way different?
I would say basketball has many faces. Basketball is a learning, evolving sport. At the age of 36, I've been playing since I was four, over 30 years now. And honestly, every year, every time I go to a new place, new country, obviously, it's new. Basketball is new. Over there, you know, just the way they play, how they play, how they practice is totally different. Two-a-days, 4 or 5 times a week, easy.
Is that more training?
Like, morning, weights, shooting, afternoon, full practice, 4 or 5 times a week. Easy.
How many months of the year, though?
So there's, I guess, a few different seasons, but I've done one for 10 months, and I'll never go back overseas for 10 months because that's obviously too long with a son. I have the Korean League is 6 months, playoffs is a month, so 7 months total if you make the playoffs. So, better trade off.
But how is living there? Like, when you first moved there, was it like the whole culture is different, obviously? Like, even spending money is different, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
How did you get, like, did you have some kind of guide to help you out?
So, luckily, in Korea and in China, when I went there, they do give you a driver and a translator that's with you pretty much anytime you go outside. But, I mean, obviously, culture is different. Way they move, the way they talk, drive, get around. Organized chaos driving is what I call it.
I can only imagine.
I'm wondering how they get their license. What do you do? You just show up and write your name down, turn the car on? I don't know. It's crazy over there for driving. But, it's definitely different. You know, food is different. I don't want to get into that because I don't want to get in trouble. But the food is great over there. I mean, it's got, you know, they... Here in America, there's things that we're allowed to put in our foods that over there they won't even allow in the country.
Right. That's all.
Like, what is it? Like, it's kind of when it comes to like playing at a professional level, when it comes to sports, like you really gotta have your mental in order. What is some of the like the principles you live by when it comes to being competitive in a sport, and how do you find yourself like? How do you exceed?
Just being disciplined, wanting to do, you know, things that others don't want to do. Again, I forgot who said it, but Mike Tyson actually said that. He said, discipline is doing things that you don't like you love them. Doing things that you don't like you love them. That is discipline. So if it's, you know, sprinting every day after practice, do it like you love it every day. I had to learn how to, you know, continue to take care of my body, especially as I got older. Hydrating, water is number one thing for me right now. Stay hydrated. If I can give any tip to any athlete, water. Water. Your body is what, 90-some% of it?
Yeah.
Water. Your body needs water. Eating right. Not burning the candle on both ends, meaning going out, you know, and partying and then trying to go to practice in the morning.
Right.
I mean, it does feel good when you're 20-something younger, but I'm telling you, it kills you at the end. I wish I could take back a couple nights, a couple years, actually. It's a balance. You know, you got to have fun with it. You have to enjoy the experiences that, you know, come with the sport, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally my vehicle to the world. Is just letting me travel the world, is letting me take care of my family. It's allowed me to experience life differently in ways that I, you know, can't imagine, still imagining.
That's what's up. But like playing on a team in a team sport, there's a lot of different things that you kind of have to master, especially when you come from playing them one-on-one games or running crunch at the park or something. How does, for somebody who's kind of newer to like maybe playing at a higher level, what is some of your advice for them to like play better within a team system?
Just play, whatever it is. Play if it's pickup, if it's 3-on-3, 1-on-1. You have to play. You have to put yourself in scenarios all the time. That as an athlete in any sport, the best athletes don't think, they react. And the only thing that, you know, to allow you to, you know, play and to play free and play like, you know, Steph and Jordan, LeBron, everyone like that, they don't think, they react. They're in the gym. They shoot all day, every day. All those shots.
Till it becomes second nature.
You know, till it's literally what they do. They grab a ball and shoot the ball. You know what I mean? That's what they do. It's a reaction. And that's how you have to play. That's how you have to be professional and be a professional.
That's what's up. Is there any players or coaches along your journey that, like, really had a big effect on you or became a mentor to your journey?
For sure. Like I said, my first year here, Juwan Howard and Joe Perzbilla. My two veteran guys, Juwan Howard, just taught me how to be a professional off the court, on the court, during practice, understanding that they're investing a lot of money into you. They know a lot about you. They know a lot about you off the court, too. So don't, you know, think that just because you're
think
out.
They ain't watching.
You know what I'm saying? They're investing in you. Be professional at all times. You know what I mean? It's going to help you out in the long run, being respectful, you know what I mean, understanding, you know, the ladder of the people, like who's on top, you know what I mean, understanding, knowing who they are, because sometimes they look like, you know, the video guys, and even still, if it is the video guy, you know, same respect all the way across, you know, just being able to be around the league is definitely a tool that a lot of guys need to learn.
Yeah, and how important is it for you to be, like, when you're a team, and you're pretty much like out and about, maybe like a club, nightclub and stuff like that. How important is it for you at the time to be like professional, even though like you're not gaming at the time? Like you still, no matter what, you have to uphold some kind of, you know, status because you're part of the team, you know?
Right. I mean, you're always representing an organization.
Even if you're not working.
Even if it's summertime.
Yeah.
Like even now, I signed the contract, so I'm representing the LG Sakers in South Korea, technically. You know, what I do here is still projects, you know, to them.
It's not like going, you can't go to Instagram Live and flash a gun.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, speaking of which, I was kind of curious, like, as a player, how do you do that? Like, answer, you know, however you feel safe.
How do you do it? Easily pull it out in the fence and, you know, show it on camera. That's not the issue. The problem here is, the problem is that the young kid is around his environment and people around him that aren't, you know, pointing him in the right direction and telling him, no, that's not the move. You know what I mean? Like, why do you even have it? You know what I mean? Like,
somebody else
should be down there. I mean, right? Isn't that, you know, at the minimum? But
right.
Again, it's that day and age where literally you thinking something that you playfully doing that we could have done 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Can't do it no more.
You can't. Yeah, because you're at a different level. Mm-hmm. You represent different things and different people, and you're counting a different check now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, he's still young. I imagine he still has, you know, he's something they can go from.
No, he'll be fine. He'll be fine in the situation. Again, he had to cut out a lot of people around him.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, get some older veteran guys in his ear and, you know, continue to
hopefully he listens.
Right, and listen, just, you know, take their advice.
Okay. Yeah, man. I think so just in closing, I wanted to ask you what further advice would you have for anybody who just wanna go into playing for like a professional league, whether that's the NBA or any kind of sport?
The biggest thing is honestly, it's a dice roll. Like, for you to make it to a professional team, to the NBA, it's a dice roll. Like, yes, you can be, there's three or four guys out on my high school team or in the leagues with me growing up, college, that were way better than me. More athletic, taller, shoot better, jump higher. It's a dice roll. The best thing that you can do, the best advice is to continue to work as hard as you possibly can. It's in God's hands, honestly. You know, you can do all the work you possibly can in the world and step off a curb wrong. You know what I mean? It's just a dice roll. I don't know, you know, what more I can really say to that, but just work hard, you know.
Give yourself the best odds you can. Just by
be the best person you can do, you know, just be smart, you know, in every situation. And let basketball, you know, be a point line girl.
Okay. Absolutely, man. We appreciate you for sure, man.
Thank you for coming by. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, is there anything, any businesses or any kind of thing, you know, maybe on social media? I don't know if you want to promote that. Is there anything you want to promote for the people right now?
Oh, nah, I'm good right now.
I'm good.
DC Compound.
On Instagram.
Tune in.
If you have a horse that needs some boarding. You
know, I think we're full right now.
Never mind.
Don't blow that up. You know, we're full right now. Maybe in a couple of years we might, you know, expand, get some more stalls around there.
There you go. Man. Well, yeah, man. Thanks again, man.
Appreciate it, dog.
We'll definitely be in touch with you. Appreciate you, Johnny. You know what I'm saying? This is another episode of PDX Biz Talk. Tell them what to do if they enjoy.
Subscribe, like, follow, you know, share our stuff, and we'll see you guys on our next one.
Yeah. Catch y'all next time.